Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, here on VBS Radio, and we're with a very special guest, psychic Chris Garcia. Well, he does a lot more than that, but I'll let him explain it to you. Welcome, Chris.
Well, welcome, Chris, and it's nice to be on your show. Thank you for giving me the chance to be on your show.
Sure, it's not a problem at all. It's what we do here at Paranormal Truth and Reality. So tell us a little bit about what started you on your path and made you realize the gifts that you have today.
Well, the thing is, I had the gift when I was like 5. I just knew that it was inherited, which I do have. We do have people in our family that have gifts. Some of them are in the medical field. They use that gift in that way. But that's how I knew it. And I knew it was something different about me. And there were stories, too, about my mom telling me about when my grandma was holding me. She goes, she knew that in Spanish, well, I can say it in English, that she knew that, you know, when she held me, she goes, this kid's going to be special and he's going to be somebody. You watch and see. And then my mom had told her like how, and she goes, you'll see, you know. And then I guess you could say when I noticed about my gifts, I want to say when I noticed them when at a very young age, and I didn't really get out until somewhat the public at school. So it was like maybe in my teens. So I have the abilities of psychic medium, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. I also have the ability to see auras, remote view. I almost do shaman work, and I'm very proud of my native heritage. And then also I do like investigations on Facebook Live. It's almost like I'm doing a walkthrough, but I'm doing it from my friend. He's on his end, and I do like that. So I'm experimenting as well because I know I've been drawn to the paranormal for a long time. And then I also offer my services with missing persons cases as well, Chris.
Awesome. Well, that's got to be, I shouldn't say awesome, but it is awesome at the same time for the listeners. It's never a good thing to find out what happened to those that are missing a lot of times, unless you can find them alive. I know several people that actually work on criminal cases. They're psychic mediums, and they've told me some good stories, and they've told me some very terrible stories. It's very interesting that you do that, obviously, because it's very important for listeners to understand that sometimes, and I can say this personally because I've worked with law enforcement myself, I've worked with the United States government from time to time, that there's a point, and this comes from an agent that I know that worked in the FBI for years. There's a point, he worked on missing cases. There's a point when you're dealing with especially children on missing cases where you have to come to the realization that odds are you're not going to find them alive, and you can't do anything about that, and you may never find them at all. So you have to kind of reach out and find other people that have gifts sometimes, even though it sounds silly, because every now and then they come up with information you just can't figure out.
Exactly, and I can tell you on the number of cases, oh my God, I'm getting chills as you mentioned that. There was this case where I told him, I said, how did you get my number? And this was local, and they said, well, we heard about you, that you help people, and we just wanted to see what you got. And I told them, I said, well, why don't you go with the law enforcement? And they told me, well, we don't trust them because of the way society is. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to say anything about it. That was where I, you know, found a daughter. She was missing with this guy, and he was just not worth anything. He was, like, treating her like crap and just being mean with her, and It was just sad to see that, you know, she had left, because I guess she felt that he loved her, and it turned out to be that he was just using her. And then I told the people that were looking for her mom, and then I just kept seeing in my head, like, almost like a movie, and I found her and exactly described the house, which there was no way I could have known the house and where to turn and this and this and that. and they found her alive. That was one case I did that. And then there was another case where I worked with Corpus Christi cops. And I gave them insight, and they were asking me, like, how do you know? Where are you from? So they were kind of like, I guess, interrogating me, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word, because I guess they were like, you know, because of course they're cops, so they go by evidence. So when I told them who I was, I said, if you don't believe me, you can check me out. I'm on Facebook. And I told them, I said, if you don't listen to what I tell you, you're going to find her dead. And I never got a response back, because we don't get the credit. You know, of course they're going to, sometimes there's some nice people where they'll say, oh yeah, we worked with a psychic. But some cops do not like to mention that because of the,
yeah, controversial.
Yeah, exactly. So when I got the call from the parents, because I somehow got a hold of the family, and I was dead on from the very beginning, because she was going through a lot of stuff with her stepdad, which I'm not going to discuss because I know there's kids on here. But it's just, she was going through a hard time, and it just, the mother never believed her. She said, well, if you don't pay attention to what I'm telling you, that he's doing this and this and that. She just took off, and then he threatened her, and she goes, if you tell this, and they're not going to believe you. And after that, he played it off to make it seem like, after that, he just, I guess you could say that she supposedly made it seem like he was letting it go. And then, so then after that, she just disappeared. And supposedly they said that, they saw some vehicle, and they didn't say anything on the news. And I told them like what vehicle, and I saw that you know, that the last time that she was seen, because she was supposed to go to a friend's house. She never made it. Hmm. And what was so weird about it, Chris, is that the stepdad was doing stuff inappropriately. And the last people that were, I guess she was at a park. So she was going to the park, and through the park is where her friend, and they never saw her go down the street, because everybody knew the family. So, you know, whenever she would go to her friends, they would go through the street, and no one ever saw her. So they saw the last person that they said they saw this weird vehicle, and they described it. And then they researched it more, but it was like on the Nancy Grace show, I believe, where she's all over the news. And somehow, I guess they found me, and then I told them exactly something that they didn't discuss on the news, that there was just no way that I knew that he took her. And then when she discovered missing, the mom and dad, you will not believe this, they took off. And this was somewhere, I want to say somewhere in Texas. I don't recall where. But I told him, I said, if you don't find her, she's going to turn up dead. And they still haven't found her body, but I know she's dead, because there's no way.
Mm-mm. Well, it's a sad thing, but the reality in criminal training, we even got trained that when I worked in a consulting position. Well, we got told that from the training a lot of times. It really wasn't a full training on my end, just so listeners know. But the reality is 24 to 48 hours after looking for a missing person, the person is probably already harmed or dead. After a week goes by, you're probably never going to find the person alive again. I had a personal experience to share that, Chris, with you a little bit. When I got into the paranormal field, about 5 to 6 years after I was in the paranormal field, I lived in a small apartment, and I had a spirit, I guess you could say, that would continue crying in this apartment. And
wow.
And the rest of my family couldn't hear it. I could only hear it. So it could have been imaginary at the time, until my rest of my family started to hear it. And then one night I heard it, and I walked out into the area, which is this little hallway. And I looked behind the door, and here there's this girl that was, she couldn't have been much more than 19. And she was dressed in a nightgown, and she was bent over, and you could see through her, and she was rocking back and forth crying. And I looked at her and said, can I help you? And she got up and she walked past me, and she walked out, and she walked through the door of the kitchen to the back. So I decided to follow her. And we went through the woods and down into a little stream, and she pointed at a tree and disappeared. So wow. I thought it was unique. And I called the police department in the town I was in at the time. Of course, they write it off, you know, it's a nutcase, blah, 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 blah. Until about 3 years later, after I had left and I'd moved to Wisconsin at the time, a detective that was retiring had called me and he wanted me to give a statement. And he wanted me to come back up to Ohio, and I did. And they did a thorough investigation on me at the time to make sure that I wasn't living in the apartment complex. And I was curious on it. And then they let me go. And he followed up with an article and a newsletter after that. And this has always touched me. I don't know if she wanted to reach out or not, but it has always touched me afterwards because it happened years later. This detective was looking into her murder. Wow. And he never found her. And it turns out that the landlord, there's a whole story between the landlord, because I asked the landlord about it and he freaked out and the maintenance guy disappeared. The landlord and the maintenance guy were harassing this young girl. And it was believed that the maintenance guy was tied to her disappearance, but they couldn't prove it. And he went back to there apparently before he retired, and he had a crew dig up the area, and her body was buried under that tree.
Oh, so my God.
They were able to solve the case accidentally, because I pointed them to the location, which is why they were investigating me at the time, because, hey, maybe I was a murderer.
Exactly. because that's how they do it, you know, they go by evidence.
Yeah, but I just thought I'd share that story with you. I haven't shared it much with the listeners. They've heard it maybe once before, just because you had mentioned that, and it just stuck in my head for some reason.
Yeah, and it's crazy, because there's a lot of times where I've experienced different things, and I'm still learning as I go along. And I guess I want to say, because I've been on Facebook for years, since first Facebook came out, when it was like the picture in the corner, it was like a little tiny picture. I've been on Facebook that long. And then something came over me, I want to say sometime in late February of this year. And I kept hearing, you need to get out, you need to be heard, you need to help. And I'm like, and the way I used to do my readings was, before I went on Facebook Live, people would contact me. I would give them the information over the phone, just like if I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. And I would tell them what I would pick up, and then they would give me a testimony. That's the only way I did it, because at that time they didn't have Messenger. They didn't have none of that stuff that they had now. So it was weird, because this past year I just kept hearing, you need to get out, you need to let people know who you are. And then after that, I've been just, I guess you can say I'm blessed, because I've been doing over, like, I don't know how many readings since February. It's been just amazing with the journey. And it's just like, I see, like, the way I see it, this is how I see it. When you, the more you give out, the more you're going to get in return. That's my way of thinking. You provide for people, no charge. You provide. And then I got in all these blessings. And then, like, sometime in March, I was on my friend Michael's show. And then I was on my friend Lisa's show. And I've been just going with the journey. And people have said, you're going to make it bigger. But, you know, and that's even friends. And before my grandmother, she had passed away. She passed away in 92, as a matter of fact. She had the gift, too. So whenever there was somebody, like, doing evil stuff, she would feel it. She would sense it. So I kind of knew that it ran in our family, and I always felt like she was more than what she was. I felt like she was a very old soul, and I felt like she had medicine, like she was a medicine woman, even though she was my grandma. But I saw her more than that, because I guess when I was like I want to say between 5 and 7, I started, just instead of being around playing with my cousins, which I did play, but there was times where I was more into, like, what is she doing and stuff like that. And she prayed, and I picked up on it, and I've been just doing this ever since. And I love this journey, because I know that all this stuff that, you know, all these opportunities, I see them as a blessing, and I'm just blossoming more and more and more as each day comes along.
Well, you know, you say something that's actually very true, and I've been trying to express that this week because of a personal battle that I won't get into much on live radio, but it revolved around social media, and it revolved around somebody that I've been trying to help out, because that's a part of what we do. We help everybody in the community if we can. And that is, the more positive things that you bring out, the more positive things come to you.
Exactly.
It works that way with success. It works that way with the people you're around. It works that way all around. And sadly, and maybe this is why you got your calling, sadly these days when you're dealing with social media and you're dealing with Facebook and you're dealing with a lot of life in general when you're watching it on TV or the internet, there's a lot of negative things that go on. There's a lot of it's just very depressing for most people to look at. And I agree with you. You know, I myself prefer to keep a positive note. I am who I am. It doesn't matter whether people like me. It doesn't matter whether people hate me. I try to give back to the communities I'm with. I try to express that as much as possible. And in return, I've had a very successful life from it. I continue to have success from it. I continue to meet very wonderful people like yourself. And I enjoy my life. I mean, that's the important thing that I think people lack a lot of times. The more that you help, the more that you give out, the more positive things that you do, whether you make money at it or not. Hey, yeah, it's great if you make money, but that's not the point. The point is that unification.
and to me, I could have told everybody when I was doing all this, you see, and I told everybody, I said, I could have made all this money, but I don't see it like that, because when I see it as blessings come to me and God will provide, you know, and if I ever do conventions or psychic fairs and meeting all these big time celebrity people, which there's a lot of people that I do know, like on Facebook and stuff like that. But I'm hoping to just help people. And if it gives me exposure, then so be it. But that's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for to help people and give them some guidance and hope and faith that things will be fine. And I know that this society, it's really bad, like the way you said, and that's probably why I got that calling, that I couldn't stay quiet anymore, because I just had to I had to be heard. So, and at the time when I kept hearing that, I was like, what do you mean I gotta be heard? I mean, I'm already on Facebook, and then I kept hearing, you need to help, you need to put your gift out there. And then as time went on, I didn't know what was coming, so I mean, because I can't read myself, so as I just started helping people, would just start slowly revealing what was happening to me. And it's just been a blessing since then. And like you say, what you give out is what you're going to get back. And like I've said many times, no matter how popular I get or, you know, or famous or whatever, because some people have told me that they see me, like I said, they see me growing and stuff. And what I've told people from the very beginning is what you see is what you get. I know there's other people that are not like that, that once they get up there, they forget about the little people. No, I don't do that. I'm still pure. I'm still true to myself. And no matter how much I'm growing, I'm always going to be Chris. Chris Psychic Garcia. I'm not going to change and think that I'm better than everybody else. I'm just me. I'm doing what God's telling me to do.
You know, that's something that's very important for listeners to think about too, actually, and something that I will share with you that I don't regularly share, is I follow a path and I see God a little differently than other people, but God guides me on a regular basis. Whether you believe it is God, whether you believe it is positive, negative, however you look at it, the fact of the matter is, when you follow that path, things positive will come. Now, you're always going to have those people that are going to make fun of you. You're always going to have those people that are going to be negative. You're always going to have those people that one way, shape, or form, they're going to try to get you back down. But the fact of the matter is, those people don't matter. What matters is the positive things that are in your life, the positive things that you do, the things that you give back to other people, the rewards that they give back to you. And it can be simple things. Thank you, a hug, you know, all those things. Those are the important things in life. Smelling the flowers. Stop and smell the roses.
Very well. And it's just a beautiful thing, and I love what I do. And if I had the chance to change anything, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything, because I thank the Lord for every day that I live, and I tell God I live for you and only you. And you know, if there's something that I need to speak about, I will speak about it on my Facebook Live, and or I'll help someone, and, you know, and I connect with a lot of people. So it's just, you know, and I'm glad that I can provide my services to people and help them.
So let's talk about a little bit of those services and how you provide them. We know that you do it on social media, obviously, when you can, by talking to people. But let's talk about the different gifts you have, let you explain them to the audience a little bit, and let them get a feel for who you really are.
My gifts are like the psychic mediumship work I do, like psychic, and then the mediumship, like readings and stuff. And then I also do like I do tarot cards as well too, but I know some people just, those are just tools that I use. And then I use my gifts as when it comes to, like I said, missing persons cases. I also can use the remote viewing, and like if somebody's looking for something, looking for someone or looking for something very important, like articles, something that can provide, I use my gifts in that way. And then I do like energy work, crystal healing. I do, you can say like candle. I don't know if that's the right word to say, candle magic or candle praying, or I don't know what that perfect word would that, but that's the only thing that they're telling me to tell you. So I guess that's just what God's telling me to say, the honest truth. And then the thing that I also do is automatic writing, where it just, it's like almost like channeling, and whatever spirit or energy talks through my hand, I just write it down. But I don't really think, I just close my eyes and just do all that type of work and as well. And then see auras and.
Very interesting. How often as a medium do you run into the more negative things, so to speak?
Honestly, if it's what I can remember, I can't think of anything right now at the moment. But there was, the only thing I can think of, maybe it was one time where I was helping this person, but I don't even know if she's on Facebook. And she was a person that was a, excuse me, a paranormal investigator. And she had gone to investigation to help people, you know, because they had claims of their house being haunted and having all this negative energy. And oh my God, Chris, it freaked me out because I couldn't even speak, because I had never experienced it before. And this was just over the phone. And I told her everything. And this was way before, I wasn't even on radio at the time, as a matter of fact, you know. And I was just, you know, talking to her, and she says, you're a good person. She goes, well, nice to meet you. And then I go, can I help you? And then she goes, well, what do you feel? And I told her, I said, not to discriminate paranormal people, because I know there's people that really do care about families and stuff. And I said, you're picking up a lot of negative energy. And I told her, I said, there's something spiritually evil attached to you. And she was like, what? I said, you have an entity. And, oh, my God, I don't even know how to say this, but when we were on the phone, I heard this voice that I had never heard before. And I don't remember, what it said, but it said it had like this evil laugh and growl. And I asked her, I said, you know, and I told her, I said, by the way, is there anybody else around you? You know, because I just want to know in case if somebody else needs to hear, you know, the reading I'm doing for you. And she says, yeah, they're inside. But I said, okay. Well, I told her, I said, I've never had experiences before, but I told her, did you hear that? And she goes, yes. I said, do you want to know what it was? And I told her, I said, she's like, yeah, I want to know what it is. I said, it's a demon. And that was the only time I experienced something that, it still remains unknown how in the world did I hear that, because there was nobody around her. And over the phone, I didn't hear no static or like white noise, because she was just, you know, at home, and she was just, I was just reading her. And I think with one last case that she did, she had, after that, she had experiencing a lot of strange things in her home, things moving around, things almost like hitting her. She was just, there was even times where she told me she was crying, because she was like, I don't know if I'm losing it or if I'm crazy. And then I told her, I said, well, you might need to get a priest or to do an exorcism. And after the time, and I haven't heard from her in a long time, because she was one of the cases that I helped her with. And I had told everybody else that I never had experienced anything like that, and it freaked me out. And then, like, now that I'm, you know, getting more out there, people have told me, you probably could do demonology too. And I was just like, that's not my forte. I don't mess with that stuff. I can probably pick up on them, but that's something that I would not mess with, even though I have the gift to probably able to do it.
Well, you know, a lot of people misunderstand the term demonology, though. I actually have studied for many, many years in the historical contents of the religious contents, and specifically in the study of demons, to understand the differences in order to be able to talk a lot about the shows. And, you know, fighting demons and demonology are kind of two different things. Demonology is the study of the word demon and how it applies to the historical contents of demons. Whereas fighting demons is different.
Exactly.
I honestly have to tell you, I would not pick a fight with a demon.
Exactly. Because I've heard different stories where people have gone to, like, trying to fight with it. And even though there's a God and God is good, but sometimes when you get into deep, depending on, because there's different levels of demons. There's, like, the lower level where they can't do, they can only do so much. And then there's the upper ones where they can really hurt you and kill you, and you can even die from it. You can just, all of a sudden, you can just start losing weight. Things start going bad for you. You can get hurt, scratches. You can really get hurt from it. And that's just something that I wouldn't mess with. I've been told by a few people that I have that ability to do that, but I guess it's just, I rather stick to what I do. And I mean, I've picked up on cases where I've done, like, paranormal stuff, like I've done, like I said, investigations on live on Facebook. And there was one time where I did pick up some negative energy. It wasn't demonic, but it was still negative because the person was all dark. So I knew, I said, you need to get rid of this person or this whatever it is, you need to get rid of it. And I told him exactly how to do it. So I can pick up on stuff like that, but that's just not something I would mess with, no matter how gifted I would be.
Well, it would take a lot of courage, a lot of will. It would probably drain you. I know the people that I've worked with in the past that are aware of how to handle whatever you call it. Again, listeners, you can call it demon, you can call it evil, you can call it negative, whatever you want to call it. Those few handful of people that do actually do that work, it takes a lot out of them. It's a dedication. It's a career. It's a calling. And it's not a fun thing to get into. Now, on the flip side, just so the listeners know, the reality of running into something like this is actually less than 1%. It's right around a half of 1%, believe it or not, that is even considered by most of these people that know what they're doing. And only a quarter of that actually turns out to be anything. In fact, some of the most world-renowned people, and I can't really call them renowned because they usually work in the dark. It doesn't matter whether they get attention or not, but they are registered. You can't find them. They have worked in fighting demons and so forth. And most of them are not here in the United States, just so that everybody is aware, although there are two sanctioned here in the United States to do so. Most of them will tell you, if you ever get a chance to pick their brains, that, in fact, one of them has had one case in 32 years. And the other one, again, has had two possible cases, and one of them faltered within about 43 years. That tells you how rare it is. However, it does happen, and you can run into it. And speaking from personal experience, because I have ran into it, it's not fun. It's a battle. And it's a battle only you can win with your faith, your belief in God, or positive, or however you look at it. It's a struggle that you have to be willing to fight. You can get hurt from it. You can get sick from it. You can get depressed from it. You can get angry from it. You can hate the world from it. And you'll never know when it's coming at you, because that's what it's intended to do.
Exactly.
So I would never encourage anybody to get involved in it and fight it, to be honest. I don't see how the few people I've met could, but, you know, I guess everybody, it's like you. You have a calling for the positive.
Yeah, exactly. And I try to stay as positive and stuff like that. But I know there's always going to be, like, no matter how light you do, there's always going to be some dark that's going to be drawn to you. Could be because of past lives. And I do believe that sometimes people don't see this, but sometimes when you can never get rid of something, it's because it could be something in your past lives that you don't remember. And some of us don't remember our lives because we've been here, you know, many times. I know I've been an old soul and I've been here more than once. And in all my lifetimes, I was either psychic, medium, or a gypsy witch, or a Wiccan, or anything to do with the psychic field, or anything like that, or like a pagan, or anything of that nature. It was always something that I would did in a positive, even though some people are afraid of people that fool around with pagan and Wicca, but it's not the name or voodoo or whatever you want to call it, but it's not that. It's just how you use your talent and how you use your gifts. So
exactly. Just keep that. I'm actually doing a documentary about the pagan beliefs and about some of these more unusual things, because it is ironic that you mention that. A lot of people look at these for the negativity, but the cultures and the people that practice in these arts, ladies and gentlemen, so that you know, they're not as negative as you may think. Now, they're not my belief system, just so that everybody understands, but that's okay. I've learned and walked through many of these communities throughout the years, spent time with them, got to see some rituals some people have never seen before in their life, got to see some practices some people have taught me because they wanted to share their cultures. And it's amazing how it's not the way you perceive it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, and I do believe what you say is true, because I know some people, they judge the cultures and the religions. To me, I'm very open because I was raised around, like, you know, doing the psychic medium stuff and knowing that if somebody was doing harm, most people would probably not discuss this, but some people would think, oh, well, maybe they're doing bad juju or bad stuff, and no matter how you look at it, how people do believe in it or not, and even for the people that don't know this, because a lot of people say, well, if you don't believe in it, you can't get attacked. Honestly, that statement is not true, because if you do not believe in it, you're more likely to get attacked by somebody that does that kind of craft and can hurt you, and then that's when you start having all this bad luck and all this misfortune. And some people don't believe, oh, well, if I don't mess with it, nothing can happen to me. Theoretically, that's not true. Now, if you believe in it and you're more open to it, it just gives you an option of what you can do to get rid of that negativity and stay positive, even though there might be throwing some bad luck at you. But you can just pray and say, you know what, keep this evil, or keep anyone that does this stuff away from me. And that's what you can do. And just still being a positive, and don't think of it as that just one person, one bad witch means that all other witches are bad. So there's a lot of good people out there and a lot of good light workers, and we're here to help. So I just want to stress that out to everybody that's listening.
Well, listeners, you're listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest digital radio stations here in the United States of America. So I do encourage you, if you're thinking about a podcast or a radio station, make sure that you look up BBS, talk to Donald. They're wonderful people. They'll take very good care of you. A little bit of local news, just so that you are aware, there are some exciting things on the mix for both television and more. It has nothing to do with me, but I want you to keep in mind and keep looking here in the next 6 months. You're going to see some personalities that you may or may not have liked in the past on Facebook and social media, but they've been with us for quite a long time, that are working some very interesting things in the background. A couple other things, just so that you're aware, some of the new television shows that are coming out this weekend, I do encourage you to watch them. The Walking Dead should be airing here in a little while. I have a very close and personal friend. I will not mention their name, but they will be on the cast this season. Hopefully they do not die. but I do encourage you to watch it this year. It's a unique look Unfortunately, we will be losing Andrew halfway through the show. Rick Grimes will be leaving us, but nevertheless, it's got a very unique path. There are some unique characters coming in, and I do want you to pay attention to that. We're speaking to psychic Chris Garcia here on BBS Radio, PTAR, Paranormal Truth and Reality. And we're going to continue that conversation a little bit. Chris, I know we've been talking back and forth for the past 30 minutes or so, but I'm just going to open it up at this point since I've been asking you a lot of questions. And let's just talk about what comes to your mind that you want to get out to the audience.
The only thing I can say is that if they want to contact me, they can look through Chris Psychic, would be PSYCHIC, and then Garcia, GARCIA. And you can also text me or call me, it doesn't matter, at 210-974-3470. Again, 210-974-3470. Or you can find me on Instagram, also on Twitter, but that one I don't really know that very well. I think it's, I don't remember the numbers, but I'm also on there as well. So, and then I'm also on YouTube, which I haven't done videos on there, but I'm thinking about doing it, but I'm not too sure. But as far as that goes, that's all I can think of, Chris. And thank you for giving me that opportunity to say anything that I need to stress. And I can't think of anything else on the top of my head.
Well, let's just kind of continue. I know we've got a little bit of time left, but let's talk a little bit about you spoke a little bit about automatic writing and some of the more unique gifts that people have. And listeners, just so that you know, there are different forms of mediumship and different forms of psychic ability. A long time ago when this was studied, they kind of gauged it in a five-stage process that most people don't know about. And one of them is automatic writing. Automatic writing is the ability to write down what other ghosts or other situations we can't perceive on paper. And it can be a lot of different things. There's a couple of other different levels to that, from the person that can hear ghosts but not see ghosts, to the person that can see ghosts and not hear ghosts, to the person that's attuned to specific things. But let's talk a little bit about your gifts. You mentioned, of course, tarot card reading and automatic writing. I'm fascinated with tarot cards, by the way, Chris. I have had four readings throughout my life, mm-hmm. and I will say most of them haven't been very accurate. I had one lady that was a gypsy reader, and she did very well. But how do you go about that? When you actually – do you have a specific deck of cards that's designed that you use that does specific purposes?
Well, I've lately within the past few weeks – me on Facebook with my page, the profile that I just said, you know, for all the people that are listening that don't know me, you can check me out on that page. What I was going to say is that the cards that I'm using, and oh my God, these are cards are that are, they're a little bit less because most cards that are tarot, they have more, the original tarot cards have more than what these cards have. I guess it's because John Holland, the psychic that, I think he's from, I want to say England. He's been on Hay House too, as a matter of fact. I know that much. He made these cards. I guess he picked somebody to do the art. And I actually ordered them, and they're called the Psychic Tarot. What I usually do on live, or I even done, where I tell people pick a number, any number, and then what I'll do is just close my eyes, shuffle the card that you told me. I won't, you know, flip it. Now, if I'm doing like a one-on-one session, then you won't be able to see me unless if it's on Facebook. But what I usually do, if it's just not like on Facebook Live, what I'll do is like I'll tell you to pick like four cards. And then those four cards can be past, present, future, and then your outcome. And then if there's any questions in between, I'll give another card out. So it just, it really varies on certain things. And I can, like, what I'll read the, what the card is saying, like what it, what the word said, what the card says. And then I'll perceive the information of what my guys are telling me through the card. And plus, and then with my abilities, I tap it into my higher self and I just get whatever information. And that's how I usually do it.
Now, when the cards come up, they're picking up off of the energy of the other person. Is that what they're doing usually? And yeah, then you're picking up off of that?
Yes. And that's how I usually do it. Because sometimes I'll even, like, do it on other people that have never watched me. And it even blows my mind because I'm like, they can easily pick, like, 10. And I'll shuffle the card 10. And it's so weird because what I usually do, I guess I just focus on the person's number and the, you know, whatever they're seeking. I close my eyes and just say, seek for the higher guidance. Then I'll just pick a number. I mean, I tell them to pick the number and I just tell them the card. And then I'll just tell them what else I pick up. And then that's why my readings are so accurate. And then speaking of accuracy with my readings, the reason why my readings come out the way they do is because my grandmother is one of my guides. And what more precious gift is that for my grandmother to be one of my guides? And then I also have an Indian chief spirit guide that talks to me. So whenever there might be some things that are unclear, he usually comes through to really receive messages from him, and he'll tell me what I need to tell you.
Hmm.
Yep.
That's interesting. Now, do you do much of the, do you do much writing as well? I mean, is it one of those things that just kind of comes to you and you feel like you have to do it?
Yes, yes, I do. There's times where I've even picked out, like, some times where I've, well, somebody was telling me, there was this one person that, I still have the book and I have it somewhere put up, but I was asking something about something in the past or something about someone's past life. And it was pretty precise on when the person was, when the person died and what the person, what happened to them. So, and I noticed that what I was writing down after I opened my eyes, I found out that I wrote down that the person that they were asking about was kidnapped. And then I wrote down something about river and stuff, other stuff like that. So it just comes to me random. I guess it's just whatever the person I'm reading will ask. Because I can also do runestone readings as well. I can do runestones. I can do the crystal ball reading. I can do tarot card readings, or I can do archangel card readings. So I don't just stick to one thing. It's just whatever my guides tell me I need to work with.
You know, that's interesting. I should ask you now. Runestones, I'm not actually that familiar with. I've seen the practice and have the privilege of seeing a few people do it. But how exactly does a runestone reading work?
I think it's just picking up the energy of that when the runestones were discovered, which I don't know too much about that. I wish I did because I'm researching it more. But it's just almost like the same thing, but it's just your impression with the symbols and whatever comes, like with my clairvoyance, I'll just see what they need to tell me. And it just comes as just like, it's almost like throwing bones, like throwing different types of stuff. And you just, it's like playing, like back in the days, what people used to do, I forget what you call them, when they throw those little stars with the, oh my God, I can't think of it. It's when my uncles used to do it. They used to throw dice, and then there was some other thing. Oh, that's what it's called, dice. They would throw the dice, and then they would throw the little marbles, and it's almost similar to that. So it's just information comes to you in a different way.
Hmm. Yeah, I've always been fascinated with every culture, listener, so that you know, have a form of doing readings, whether it's the rune stones, whether it's the bones, whether it's the dice. Some soothsayers actually looked at pools of water. There are some amazing different cultures that are out there. The first time I had a chance to see crystal ball reading was actually in a gypsy culture, though it didn't start there. But it's always fascinating to see people do readings. It's a talent on its own because each one is different.
Yeah, everybody has their different methods on how they do it. Because every psychic, every medium or stuff like that can do them differently. And the thing that also fascinates me, too, that I haven't tried, but I'm pretty sure I can do it, is doing tea leaf readings. That's a little bit different because the way it works, of what I've seen, is that the person drinks it or they... You know, they drink it, and then I guess the person that's the reader tells them what they need to do. Then they like make sure they drink it all, and then they flip it over for a couple minutes, and then they let it dry. And then whatever leaves comes out, it's like they use the symbols to perceive information of what's going on in their past, present, and future. And most of them, I want to say, like the where you hold the handle, that means something. And then it also means like certain angles of the cup, what it means. So there's different perceptions on tea leaf readings. And that's something that's fascinating me too, but I haven't tried it. But I'm pretty sure I can do it because I've explored different parts of my gifts, and they've told me, try it, because you never know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would if I were you. Yeah, I mean, you never know. You might pick up another technique that you can do, and that's all. It's all a part of the process. I encourage that a lot of times, even in the work that I do. I mean, when I started, and I always talk about these people: Terry Rowe, John Griffiths, Kelly Berg, Ron Cross, an amazing bunch of people. When I started this, I worked with the International Paranormal Research Society for years, but my job was to be an interviewer and do whatever they told me. So I was taking notes and working with these guys for many, many years, living in my little cubby afterwards and picking up everything and putting it together for them so that they could go out and talk to their cases or their studies that they were doing all over the place and so forth. And I loved the job. I thought it was great. Because I'd had my paranormal experiences and I just wanted answers myself. So when they invited me in, it was like, cool, I'll do whatever you want. But when I reached out to the community, I would have never learned anything if I didn't try new things and listen to people.
Exactly. And it's just a beautiful thing, you know, and I'm glad that I had a chance to be on your show, Chris. And I just wanted to say thank you for the listeners out there. And I just hope that me and Chris, we kind of like helped you out. So whenever you need to look for a person that maybe you're interested in, you can just add me on Facebook. And you can also find me on Twitter if you save my phone number. And that's how most people don't know, is that if you save a person's number and you're all over social media, what you will notice is that when you add someone's number on your phone will notify you what the person's on. Like if the person's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, any app that's like a so popular media, you can add the person's number and you'll find out that most of the times you'll find out what they're on most of the times. But I'm just throwing that out there. So, and then as far as that, that's all I can think of.
No, that's perfectly fine, Chris. We appreciate you coming on. Listeners, next week we're actually going to have another wonderful guest. I do encourage you to look for the advertisements once we get them up on BBS Radio. I'll do my posting every Friday night as I do. I do encourage you to go to BBS First, obviously, because Donald works very hard with all of his people. And, well, I want you to see BBS Radio. just a few key notes at the end, as I end every single week, and I tell everybody here in Paranormal Truth and Reality, in the paranormal, truth should always be the reality that you seek. What you're seeing now is a very forthright and honest individual that works very hard in the public, very honestly, and just tries to get his word and his help out there. A lot of times what you're going to find in social media and in the paranormal, you might think when you're starting off is very negative, because there's a lot of people out there that they're going to bash you. They're going to trash you. They're going to come after you. They're going to think they're bigger than life when they're not, to be frankly honest. But the few people that you're running into, like Mr. Garcia, are the ones that are going to make you realize, in the end, it's not that bad. There are people that want to educate you. There are people that want to help you. There are people that want to guide you. And those are the wonderful people that you want to keep an eye on. You've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your weekend, and we hope to talk to you soon.
And good night, guys.